As we heard yesterday, there's been much conversation in Lansing about whether some Michigan businesses can safely resume operations. What exactly does safe even mean anymore when even our hospitals are struggling with issues of hygiene and physical distance? And how much does the epidemic have to subside for leaders to feel okay about sending workers back into action? Michigan Radio's Kate Wells and Will Callen have been looking into this, and they join us now. Kate, Will, welcome back.
Hey, April.
Hey, April.
Guys, we're hearing all the time that things have leveled off and we've hit this plateau, and yet I feel like we keep seeing more and more new cases reported by the state every day. What exactly do we mean when we say that Michigan's hit a plateau? I mean, we're not out of the woods yet, clearly, but what's changed?
Yeah, so I think what people need to understand about when we say we've hit a plateau is that it's almost like we hit this peak and then we're just sort of staying at that peak. And we have two indicators for that, right? You've got testing and you've got hospitalizations. I feel like hospitalizations are some of our best indicators right now. And remember sort of at the beginning of this where you just saw that big curve going up and up and up of more and more people being hospitalized. It's sort of like about 2 weeks ago, really the beginning of April, it hit this peak. It sort of stayed there. And for even some health systems like Beaumont or Michigan or Henry Ford, it's even started to sort of slowly trend down. People are still really, really sick. You know, that doesn't reflect how many people are in the ICUs or on ventilators, but they're not being completely overwhelmed the way that they were initially, and they're being able to sort of say, okay, we've hit this plateau. The other place where we've seen sort of a general plateau is in testing. And remember, testing is like totally imperfect because it's not universal yet, so it doesn't tell you everybody who's sick, and it doesn't tell you when somebody got the virus that specifically. But again, back in early April, it's like we were adding about 1,200, 1,300 new cases from the state every single day. And over the last few weeks, we've pretty much stayed in that range. And of course, this is when everybody brings in the but, right? So this Henry Ford Health System was giving a general update about this, and their CEO of their medical group, Dr. Steve Kalkanis, was also like, that ends if we stop social distancing.
The stay-at-home orders, the social distancing, all of the significant and unprecedented steps we took as a society have successfully led to this plateauing. If you suddenly reverse that, then you could really put really all of us at a risk for going through a second surge.
It feels, Kate, like experts in Michigan are looking hard at this. How do you start to return to normal life without creating that severe second surge? Do you know anything about how they're attacking that question?
Well, so there's how lawmakers are attacking it, and there's how experts are attacking it. And the experts that I've talked to say you essentially need to have three things all at the same time, like three prongs here, a three-pronged approach. You need, one, phased-in social distancing that we're hearing so much about. So like, April, if next week or whenever I return to the office and you and I are both at the office together, but then the other week I work from home and Will comes into the office. And that's because you want to be able to do the second prong well, which is contact tracing. You need a massive statewide ability to say, okay, so Kate is sick. Who did she come in contact with? Well, she was in the office with April. And then, of course, the third thing you need is universal testing.
Always the testing. It seems like what we come back to again and again. So where are we on this? Folks might have missed our chat yesterday with Michigan House Speaker Lee Chatfield. Will, could you recap what some lawmakers are proposing to restart certain sectors of the economy?
Yeah, sure. So just to be clear, the proposal is pretty preliminary. It's not comprehensive, but basically what it's saying is that you would assign each county in Michigan a certain risk level. And you'd start letting those areas deemed less risky, you'd start letting them ease up on restrictions sooner and in more force. So in broad strokes, what that would mean is that you would maintain more restrictions and for longer in Southeast Michigan, and maybe start loosening them up north a little bit sooner. But as Kate was just mentioning, you know, in order to know that it's safe to do any of that, we need to increase our testing capacity, and we also need to start getting out and doing this contact tracing, which you know, requires time-consuming investigation. So as for the testing capacity, in the last week, the state has expanded eligibility criteria for getting a test. So now, if you just have mild symptoms, you can get a test. Or if you're an essential worker reporting to work in person still and you don't have symptoms at all, you can also get a test. And then as for contact tracing, again, this is just starting up, but the state has expanded eligibility criteria for the testing, but that doesn't mean that our testing capacity, the number of tests we're able to give, has increased necessarily.
Yeah, that's an important distinction. Let's say for a moment that Michigan does experience another surge. If things reopen too soon or if businesses don't have adequate protections, would it look any different than what we're going through right now?
Well, first, to be clear, the severity of a second surge is going to relate directly to social distancing, whether we continue to adhere to guidelines and for how long. So the more that we adhere to the social distancing guidelines, the smaller the second surge is going to be. You know, cases generally go up about 2 to 3 weeks after social distancing drops off. So we may see that we ease some of these restrictions, and it's going to take a while before we see the effect of that. There are two main things that we want to be looking out for if we do start easing some of the restrictions. One has to do with drug supplies. Drugs like sedatives and painkillers and anesthetics are really important during this pandemic because they're required for ventilator patients. They make patients who are getting intubated comfortable. It's completely agonizing to get intubated if you don't have these drugs. And, you know, because of the pandemic, there is a huge surge in demand for them. So right now we're only seeing, according to some estimates, like 53% of orders getting filled. We heard from the Beaumont pharmacist that 3 weeks ago, that hospital system was down to a 48-hour supply of these drugs like sedatives and painkillers. And so what they did was they got all of their vendors together on an emergency call, and luckily were able to get those emergency shipments delivered before that window closed. But the problem here is that vendors and wholesalers, they're not required to report their inventory levels to the FDA. So we literally don't know how many of these drugs that they have unless they're voluntarily reporting them. So we don't know if they have what it takes to bail out another large hospital system if there is a big second surge.
Oh my gosh. You know, I feel like I've heard this narrative in some form before. We've chatted from time to time with a University of Michigan medical historian about second waves in the 1918 flu epidemic. You guys are aware of his work, right?
Yeah, so Howard Markel, he's a doctor and a medical historian at University of Michigan, and he published a study in 2007 looking at non-pharmaceutical responses to the 1918-1919 flu pandemic. So stuff like we're seeing now, school closures, quarantines, public gathering bans, and they compared 43 cities to see, based on when they imposed the restrictions and for how long, how those cities fared in the long run.
We found that cities that did them early, that did more than one, they layered them in a way that was very effective and did them for a long period of time, because social distancing doesn't cure a virus. It doesn't really prevent you from, if you have contact with the virus, of getting sick from it. What it does is buy you time.
So obviously there's a big difference 100 years later. We can't make a direct comparison between now and 1918, but the point still stands. We have been imposing multiple restrictions here in Michigan. We've been enduring them for a long period, and we're probably going to have to endure them for a while longer in order to give medical professionals and scientists time to care for patients and develop a vaccine.
Michigan Radio's Will Callen. We also heard from reporter Kate Wells. You can read more of their work online at michiganradio.org. Guys, thank you both very much.
Thank you, April.
Thanks, April.